Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Okay, the whole theme of this week is explore an encounter. And what we're looking at over the course of this week is the importance of creation. Why does creation matter? What does it matter whether or not we believe the world took millions and millions of years to form through a process called evolution? Does it matter if we believe whether or not we come from apes or we came out of some primeval soup? Does it really matter what we believe? Can we make evolution and the Bible fit together? Well, over the course of the next few days, we're going to explore the evidence that's available to us. We're going to explore why creation matters. We're going to explore the importance of creation. And through that exploration, we're going to encounter the Creator. You see, there is a purpose to everything. God is the God of order. God is the God of purpose. And we will see how creation fits together absolutely perfectly. Now, there are certain things that we would say, well, that might be a coincidence if that happens. But there are so many things that have taken place in creation and the design of creation that there are far too many so-called coincidences for it all to actually come to being. And what we want to do over the next few days is to understand that this world hasn't happened by accident, that you are not here by accident, that God has created the world for a purpose, and as a result has a purpose for each and every one of you. If everything happened by accident, then what would be the purpose of our lives? If everything happened by accident, what would be the purpose of our existence? You see, if we can deny that there's a creation, if we can deny that there's a God, then there's nobody for us to answer to. Let me ask you this question. For those of you who are old enough to stay in the house on your own, how well behaved are you when there's suddenly no one there to look after you? Not very. How is it that as soon as the teacher leaves the classroom, that's the time you start playing up? And here's the thing. If the world can convince us that there is no God, that there's no creation, that there's no creator, then there's nobody for us to answer to. And what that means is the world, the people in the world can do exactly what they want, exactly as they please, and have nobody at all to answer to. And over the next few days, we're going to go on a journey. We're going to explore creation from the smallest microorganism up to the vast expanses of space. And we're going to see God in every single detail of creation. We look at the tiniest part of our planet to the absolute immenseness of the universe and space. And through that, we are going to see why creation has a purpose, why we have a purpose, and we look at the evidence and explore creation and encounter the Creator. And if you were here and you've never, ever accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then through by the end of this week, our prayer is that you'll have an understanding of why God created this world, why God created you, and what God did to save you from your sins, to give you a home in a place called heaven when we leave this earth. So, where do we start? The best place to start is in the beginning. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 says this: in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We'll look at a few simple points today. Who, what, when, where, and why. Who? God. In the beginning, God. I suppose the first question we have is, does God exist? do we have to prove that God exists? And the thing is this, the Bible never, ever tries to prove God's existence. The opening lines of the Bible, it says, in the beginning, God. God has always been there. And God will always be there. Genesis 21:33, Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called it on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. You see, God has no beginning and has no end. He says in Psalm 41:13, blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting unto everlasting. At one point, there was nothing. There was no universe, there was no sky, no sun, no moon, no stars, no earth. There was no water, there was no plants, there was no trees, there was no animals, no people. Nothing existed at all. Nothing except God. Isaiah 44:6 says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. So how can we prove God's existence? Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. If the world can convince people that there's no God, then there's no one to answer to. If we can convince the people that we've come from monkeys, then we have no purpose, and therefore we have no real eternal destination. So how do we prove God? Well, let me ask you this question. How can that be turned into that? How can all of those bricks suddenly become a building? Over the course of millions of years, did those bricks suddenly fall together and eventually create that house? Is that what happened? Did those bricks evolve into a house? No, what's needed to go from those bricks to that house? Bob! A builder. The builder proves that there's a building. How do you go from that to that? Bob. Again, common denominator, Bob Ross. The painting proves that there was a painter. The building proves that there was a builder. Creation proves that there was a creator. Everything in this world has a purpose. Even spiders. Even snakes. Even wasps. I hate wasps. They all have a purpose. Romans 1 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Creation proves that there was a creator. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So let's look at the what. The what? Creation. It says in verse 2 of Genesis chapter 1, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. On day one, God made four important things. The first thing he made was time. Because up until this point, there was no time. There was no 60 seconds in a minute. There was no 60 minutes in an hour. There was no 24 hours in a day or 365 days in a year. There was no time. Because God is outside of time. So the first thing he had to create was time. And we see that because he called the day day and he called the night night. And he separated the dark from the light. So God created time. The next thing he created was space. God had to create space so there would be something and somewhere for him to put everything. Then he created something called matter. Now, the second law of thermodynamics says that matter can neither be created nor destroyed. So there is no one right now that can create any more matter. God made everything that we needed for this world to survive. From the smallest atom, he made gas, liquid, vapor, plasma. He made everything. Every matter, you look at the periodic table that you study in school, and God created all of that. He created matter. God simply commanded it all to come into being. It just says that he spoke. He spoke the word, and it was. He also created light. God said, let there be light. Who can tell me what this light was?
Day.
Day? Drew?
God.
God? Awesome. You see, oftentimes we think, oh, it must be the sun. Well, the sun wasn't created until day four. But yet, on day one, there's light. God let his light shine into the darkness of the void that was the world at that time. God is light. God said that the light was good. It was perfect. It was part of God's plan for creation. As we've seen, creation needs a creator. I need a volunteer. Okay, Jack. Awesome. Up you come. Do you like Lego?
Oh yeah, I love Lego.
You love Lego? Awesome. Okay. We've got some Lego pieces here. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. Okay, here's the instruction book. Okay. You're not going to need that. But this is what I want you to do. I need you to shake this as much as you can. And I need you to make that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, just give it a good shake. Put some effort into it. Come on. Okay. That's done. Not one single piece has actually joined together. And we want to... It's only simple. When that's the simplest Lego piece I could find. It's not like Star Wars X-Wing fighter or anything. It's not a Batmobile.
No.
It's a car. So do you want another go? Does anyone else think they could do it? Okay. Drew, come and show Jack how it's done. Come on. Put some eggs into it. I think you got it. Does that look like that? No, right, okay. Okay, this is what I'm going to do. I will buy you every single Lego piece that is an offer in the world today if you can shake this and make that. Okay, the boys think they're up for it. How long do you think it would take? You can go and sit down. I might just leave that all night. How long do you think it will take? You can put your hands down, boys, because guess what? It's not going to happen. Because I read the instructions and it took me ages to make that. How ridiculous is that? To think that we can shake this long enough. How long do you think it would take to shape this box, to be able to get all of those Lego pieces to join together and fit together to make one simple car? How long? 1,000 years? 5,000 years? Till the world ends? Never. You cannot do it. And here's the thing. He was one I made earlier. It was awful sad because I was downstairs studying earlier on and Joe said, "Is that you, a leg over there?" And the thing is, everybody heard her. I don't always play with Lego. Eve have got some that sometimes I borrow, but it's not mine. I like... And that was a long time ago you had Lego, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the point. Something as simple as that could not happen by accident. It takes somebody to put the pieces together. The world didn't just happen by accident. God put the pieces together. Now, that's not a complicated piece. That's not the most complicated Lego piece you could buy. It's simple. But no amount of shaking all of those bits together is ever going to make that form into that car. How on earth do we think then that the world around us just happened by accident? When you think how perfect this world is, the position that our planet is in the solar system is perfect. The way in which the moon operates our tides is perfect. The way in which the human body works is perfect. The way in which certain animals perform certain tasks is perfect. Did that all happen by accident over a course of millions and millions and millions of years? No. It took somebody who knew what they were doing to put it all together. Some scientists suggest that there was once a big bang that made everything. How many of you have ever seen a firework? Bonfire night. How many times have you gone out and you've seen fireworks exploding in the sky? Can I ask you this question? What happens after the explosion? Nothing. How many of you have seen some of the horrible things that go on in certain countries where, you know, people blow themselves up or bombs take place? Have you ever seen anything good come out of that? No, it causes destruction and it causes damage and it causes utter mayhem. And yet, people who have got a vast amount of intelligence want you to think that there was an explosion, a big bang, and that made everything perfect. We couldn't even shake a few Lego pieces together. How on earth could an explosion cause everything on this planet to work so perfectly? We can't. Because there has to be a creator. And if there's a creator, guess what? The creator cares for his creation. On day two, God prepares the world so that plants could grow in it and animals could live in it. And the Bible says that on day two, he made a firmament. He made the waters and separated the waters and created atmosphere and the air that we breathe. And even the air that we breathe, is made up of nitrogen, some oxygen, and a tiny amount of other gases such as carbon dioxide. And did you know there's the perfect amount of gases in the air for us to breathe? If there was any more oxygen than there is, one slighter spark and the whole world would blow up. If there was some more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, then we wouldn't be able to breathe. There is the perfect amount of air in the atmosphere for us to breathe and for us to function. Did that happen by accident? Why is there so much water on the earth? Water is absolutely essential for us to live. How many of you like drinking water? I hate water. I know I should drink it and I know it's good for you, but I don't like it.
Same.
But it is the most important fluid that's available to us. Because our body is made up mostly of water. So it's important that we have the right amount of fluid intake. That we do drink plenty of water. The world is made up of so much water. Did you know the earth is the only place in the universe to have liquid water? The earth is 70% covered by water. there is so much water on the earth that if we flattened out all the mountains, if we took, you can't really compare Penavan and Mount Everest, can you? Or even Scaffold Pike and Mount Everest, they don't really. But anyway, if you took all the mountains in the world and you flattened them out, and you flattened out the whole world, there's so much water on the planet that the water would cover the earth by up to 2 miles. That's how much water is on the planet. But God has designed that perfectly, because there's a right amount of water on the planet so that the planet heats up properly. Because it takes water a lot longer to heat up, but it keeps the heat longer. And therefore it helps in the formation of clouds, which helps in the formation of rain, which helps sustain our planet. Guess what? It didn't happen by accident. God has designed it all absolutely perfectly. On the third day, God continues making his beautiful planet. And the earth starts to form. He makes mountains to rise up. And he creates this wonderful earth. And on that earth then, not only did God command the dry land to appear, he commanded the land to produce all kinds of plants, green grass, tall palm trees, other vegetation, flowers begin to bloom, daisies, daffodils, roses, bluebells, sunflowers, bushes and trees, all forms and shapes and sizes, fruit of every single kind to sustain life upon this earth. And this earth was a beautiful place. Did it take millions and millions of years to form? No, God simply said, at the end of this day was day one. At the end of this day was day two. At the end of this day was day three. At the end of this day was four. Was day four. He tells us that it took 6 days to create the world. Not millions and millions of years by accident, by accident, by accident. It was created in 6 days with perfect design. It's amazing how plants are pollinated by bees. It's amazing how seeds from... How many of you... Here's a question for you. How many of you have ever had potatoes? And you've maybe... The potatoes have been left in the bottom of the drawer for too long and all of a sudden they start to sprout. How does that happen? That's crazy. But you plant that potato and guess what? A little tree will grow and will end up creating more potatoes under the ground. You look at an apple and there's the seed inside the apple. Guess what? If you plant that seed... God has put all the information needed in that tiny little seed for it to grow a tree, for it to produce fruit that sustains our lives. Did that all happen by accident? No. It's all been perfectly designed. But here's the thing. If we are told long enough and often enough that the world took millions and millions and millions of years, eventually we'll believe it. Here's the thing, at one point, Charles Darwin's theory of evolution was known as a theory. And now what the world is trying to do is to remove the word theory, because they want to present it as scientific fact. Well, it's up to you. You can believe whatever you choose to believe. You can believe that the world happened by accident, that there was a big explosion and everything just suddenly came from nothing, because that's what they say, that the whole matter in all of this universe was contained in a tiny, tiny, tiny spot. And that tiny spot exploded. And from that explosion, everything we see in the universe happened. And then coincidentally, the planet we live on now just happened to be in the right place. And that over a period of millions and millions and millions of years, single-celled organisms in this soup of a whole host of different things formed a little cell. And that little cell turned into a fish. And that fish eventually crawled out onto the land. And that land fish suddenly became a monkey. And that monkey suddenly became you. Do you think you came from monkeys?
No.
Some of you behave like you came from monkeys. Trim, definitely. I don't think I came from a monkey. I think God created me in His image. And that God has got a purpose for me. And because God has got a purpose for me, God wants to spend eternity with me. But God can't spend eternity with me because of my sin. My sin separates me from God. The bad things that I've done in my life would separate me from God. The Bible refers to sin as the transgression of God's law. If we've ever told one lie, if we've ever not honoured our parents, boys, if we've ever not honoured our parents, if we've ever taken God's name in vain, if we've ever done anything to break the commandments, that's a sin. And that stops us going to heaven. That's why God sent Christ to die upon the cross. That's why God sent Jesus into the world to die on the cross to pay for our sins. So that we could go to heaven. So that our sins could be forgiven. If everything happened by accident, then there would be no purpose in our lives. But everything didn't happen by accident. God designed the world perfectly. And He created us so that we could have fellowship with Him. Because He loves us. On day 4, God created the sun, the moon, the stars, the universe. And we'll find out more about that tomorrow. On day 5, He created the birds of the air and the fish in the sea. And on day 6, He created the animals. And we'll learn more about that on Wednesday. And on day 6, He created man. And we'll learn more about that on Thursday. The reason that it's important to believe that God created the heavens and the earth is this. If we can't believe what Genesis 1:1 says, then how can we believe what John 3:16 says? If we can't believe that the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth, how can we believe that God sent a Savior into the world to save us from our sins? God has designed the world perfectly. God has created you for a purpose. If you were here this week, regardless of what church you go to or regardless of what church you belong to, here's the thing. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, it doesn't matter what church you go to. You've never asked Jesus into your heart. The Bible says that there's a place called hell that waits for you at the end of this life. But God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Remember I said God has designed everything perfectly? Well, He's designed a plan called salvation. And that plan of salvation is Jesus dying on the cross to take away the sins of the world. Christ can take away every sin that you've ever committed. And it's only by asking Him to save you and asking Him into your heart and your life can your sins be forgiven and your home be a place called heaven. Why is it important to believe in creation? Because if we don't believe in creation, we'll never believe in the Creator. And if we don't believe in the Creator, we'll never understand or have His forgiveness and His salvation. Over these days, we're going to explore many, many things. But the most important thing that we want you to do is to encounter God. We want you to know Him as your Savior. If you are here, and there are many who are here who have been saved, have been on many different camps before and have asked Jesus into your hearts, and then we want you to encounter God in a wonderful way where you will do more for Him, where you will be more committed to serve Him, whether in your home or in your school or in your church, whether it would be to be more of a witness for Him, to know more about Him, to learn more from Him in His Word. We want you to grow and be the Christian that God has designed you to be, that God wants you to be, and that God needs you to be in this day and age. Every eye closed and every head bowed. No one looking around. I wondered if you were here this week and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call out your name. I'm not going to point you out. But if you don't know if you're saved, or you know that you've never asked Jesus in your heart, but you want to know more, you want to know more about salvation, you want to know more about heaven, would you just slip up your hand so that we can come and speak to you after and talk to you about what salvation is? Is there anyone here this week who doesn't know whether or not they're saved? Is no one looking around? There's plenty of people who are here who can help you and talk to you and show you in the Bible what it means to be saved. Maybe you were here this week and you were struggling with something. Maybe you were here this week and you're having difficulty with your Christian faith. Maybe you're having difficulty in your walk with the Lord. Maybe kids in your class in school are making fun of you. Maybe some of your family are not saved and you want to pray for them and you want to witness to them. Maybe you're having a hard time at home. Maybe you're having a hard time in school. Well, we want this week to be a blessing. Do we want this week to help you? We want God to speak to you and to work in your lives. Maybe there's something that you are facing that you want help with. I don't know what it is that you need, but God does. If you were here and you want God to help you in a particular way, would you just slip up your hand so we can pray for you? The leaders are going to meet later on and we're going to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down once you put them up. Anybody else? Thank you. Anyone else who would like prayer for something that they are facing or struggling with? Amen. Thank you. Nobody looking around. Amen. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you again for this night. We thank you for this time together. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Father, we're thankful for the fact that you have created us for a purpose, that you've created this world perfectly, Lord. And we just pray that you'd help us to understand what our purpose is in this world. We understand that you have a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. And Father, we pray that you would help us to understand that in this next week, Lord. We pray that as we look at your creation and the details of it, as we look at the vastness of space, as we look at the complexities of the animal kingdom and the human body, Father, I pray that you would help us to see the wonders in your creation and that we would understand the wonders of our Creator. Father, we are so grateful again for all those who've come together this week, for those who are helping put this camp on, and for those who are willing to give up their time to help the children and to teach the children. We just pray, Lord, that you would bless us in the week ahead. Father, we pray that you would receive all the glory, the honor, and the praise. And again, if there's one here, Lord, who has yet to ask Jesus Christ into their heart, then we pray that before this week is through, they would come to know you as their Savior. Father, we just ask and pray all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right, before I ask Andy Joe to come up to give us some announcements for the night, should we do one more song? Should we do Lord, I Lift You on High again? Is that okay?